Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord, our Maker, our Redeemer, and our Comforter, you have invited and urged us to seek you while you may be found. Lord, we come here today to seek your grace and your mercy. We ask you to come to us and bless us and cause your word to take root in our hearts and our lives. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. You may be seated. You may have noticed that the hymns, parts of them are completely missing in the bulletin. Some of them are halfway there, and one of them is fully in the bulletin. I'm not sure what happened with the printing of this bulletin. The East Bay bulletins are fine, but yours are kind of messed up. So you'll have to use the hymnals to find the hymns today. Our first hymn is hymn 646, Church of God, Elect and Glorious, in the maroon hymnal in your pew.
Thank you.
Please rise. I invite you to follow along with our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the top of page 3. We begin our worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him, and have deserved only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against You and do not deserve to be called Your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy upon me according to Your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of His Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. Through faith in Him, which was created in you by the Holy Spirit, you are His own dear child. May God give you the strength to live according to His will. Amen. We pray. O God, whose strength is made perfect in weakness, grant us humility and childlike faith that all our thoughts, words, and actions may be pleasing to you. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first scripture reading for today is taken from the Old Testament book of the prophet Jeremiah. We'll read from chapter 15, verses 15 through 21. Our readings for today and even a portion of our sermon text remind us that being a follower of Christ and even being a prophet of the Lord is not always easy. Jeremiah had a particularly very difficult ministry, but his delight and his strength and his courage were found in God and His Word. We read from Jeremiah 15. O Lord, you understand. Remember me and care for me. Take vengeance for me on those who persecute me. You are slow to anger. Do not take me away. Keep in mind that for your sake I bear disgrace. Your words came to me, and I devoured them. Your words became my joy, the delight of my heart, because I bear your name, O Lord God of armies. I did not sit with a band of partygoers, nor did I celebrate with them. I sat alone because your hand was upon me. You filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unending? Why is my wound incurable, refusing to heal? Will you be as deceptive as the intermittent stream to me, like a source of water that a person can't depend on? And the Lord answers Jeremiah, this is what the Lord says. If you repent, I will take you back, so that you may stand before me. If what you say is worthwhile and not worthless, you will be my spokesman. They must turn to you, but you must not turn to them. I will make you like a bronze wall to this people. They will fight against you, but they will not overcome you, because I am with you to save you and rescue you, declares the Lord. I will rescue you from the hand of the wicked, and I will deliver you from the grasp of the ruthless. Our second reading for today is taken from the Gospel of Matthew. We'll read from chapter 16, verses 21 through 26. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Jesus here predicts his suffering and death to his followers. Peter's reaction is not the reaction of thinking of the things of God, but thinking, my friend, my teacher is going to die. Let this not happen. Of course, Jesus died and rose again to save us from our sins. These words of Jesus also remind us that following him is going to bring about sacrifice and denying of our self, our sinful self, and instead turning away from our sins, turning to Jesus. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he had to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and experts in the law, and be killed, and on the third day be raised again. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, may you receive mercy, Lord. This will never happen to you. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a snare to me, literally a death trap to me, because you are not thinking the things of God, but the things of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In fact, whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. After all, what will it benefit a person if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul? Or what can a person give in exchange for his soul? Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed, the top of page 6 in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, hymn 685, Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus. Again, that's found in your maroon hymnal, 685. Thank you. Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Savior Jesus Christ, who was the ultimate sacrifice for us. His death brings us life, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from Romans chapter 12. We'll read verses 1 through 8. The Apostle Paul here is writing by inspiration from God, and he says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your appropriate worship. Also, do not continue to conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that you test and approve what is the will of God, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. So by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought, but to think in a way that results in sound judgment, as God distributed a measure of faith to each of you. For we have many members in one body, and not all the members have the same function. In the same way, though we are many, we are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. We have different gifts according to the grace God has given us. If the gift is prophecy, do it in complete agreement with the faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then encourage. If it is contributing, be generous. If it is leadership, be diligent. If it is showing mercy, do it cheerfully." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. If you are around my age or possibly older, you probably remember the movie coming out in the mid-80s called Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Now, I was 6 years old when this movie came out in 1984, so I definitely was not allowed to see it when it came out in the theater. But I do remember going to school during that time and having the upper graders — we had a school very similar to ours — having the upper graders talking about this movie constantly, in particular talking about one very violent and gross scene. If you've seen the movie, you probably know which scene I'm talking about. I won't go into too much detail, but it involved a cult high priest pulling someone's heart right out of their chest while they were still alive, and then them getting, while they're still living, lowered into the lava pit and dying as a sacrifice. It's a scene that you don't easily forget, especially if you saw that movie when you were a child. And coincidentally, that scene and that movie in particular was so violent and gory that it brought about a change in the rating system. They began to call movies PG-13 as opposed to just PG if they were too violent and too grotesque. So when you heard me read the words of verse 1 from Paul's words to Romans today, when you heard him say, "Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice," is that the image that popped into your head? If you're a child of the 80s, maybe it did. Is that what Paul is talking about here? Some sort of ritualistic sacrificing of ourselves to God that God is demanding of us? Well, it obviously does not have anything to do with some terrifying human sacrifice, but it does involve living, and it does involve a sacrifice. Let's listen again to the words of verse 1, the full verse. Paul says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your appropriate worship." What Paul is speaking about is living our lives, using the body, the life, that God has given you in service to Him and for His glory. Paul not only tells us that this is pleasing to God, but he also says something that might be a little bit surprising. He says this is appropriate worship. That means that our worship of God isn't just singing and preaching and reading from the scriptures or praying in church on Sundays, but actually takes place throughout the week. We can, in fact, worship God by doing things and saying things that are pleasing to Him. We worship God, when we do things like our job to the best of our ability and bring Him glory. When we love our spouse and family, when we care for those in need, and yes, when we sing songs of praise to God. Our entire lives can be filled with worship to God when what we say and do is done from a heart of faith and love toward Him. It is also a sacrifice because it does involve giving up something. It is an offering of something to our Savior in thankfulness to what He has done for us. We offer up our lives in thankfulness, knowing that we cannot in any way, shape, or form fully repay Him for taking our sin and our guilt upon Himself on that cross. But what better way can we thank Him than by giving our whole life as an offering to Him? Now, how is that done? In what ways can we be living sacrifices to God? Well, Paul does not go into a how-to or a 12-step program into how to be a living sacrifice for God, but he does explain in our text some of the ways in which we can live our lives as a sacrifice, live our lives in worship to our Savior. It starts in verse 2 with being transformed and being renewed in our hearts and minds from worldly thinking, selfish thinking, to thinking and living in God-pleasing ways. Listen again to verse 2 of our text. Also, do not continue to conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that you test and approve what is the will of God, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. The good news that I have to tell you this morning is that we cannot perform this transformation on our own. Notice Paul uses a passive here. He says, be transformed. But God can. And God actually has in you and me. He performed an incredible miracle in each one of us. The greatest miracle took place inside your heart when He converted you, when He brought you to faith, a living, breathing, active faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, through the message of the gospel. A new life was created inside you, the scriptures say. A new life inside your heart and mind, or as Ephesians puts it, a new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, while we know that we have been transformed into children of God by the blood of His Son, Jesus, and while we have this new self living inside of us, we also know that from now until the day we reach heaven, we still have that sinful self living inside us as well. That sinful flesh still clinging to us, still fighting with us. And as long as we are alive on this earth, there's a strong urge inside of us to do exactly the opposite of what Paul says, to be conformed to this world, to listen to self, not deny self, as Jesus said in our gospel reading for today. Therefore, we are in constant need of being transformed, that is, being spiritually renewed and refreshed every day. Again, how is that done? Well, the cleansing and renewing of our hearts and our minds is found in the confession and forgiveness of our sins, which we receive, of course, through Christ's shed blood, which is announced to us, which is given and reminded, given to us as a reminder, each and every time you come here for worship. Think of the words of the offertory that we sing every Sunday after the sermon, words that King David wrote after he confessed his great sin to God and received God's forgiveness. Words from Psalm 51, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." King David was the man who was inspired to write that psalm, and he knew where to turn for a new heart, for a renewed, willing spirit. And he knew it wasn't to turn more inward, to turn within himself to get that ability, or even to turn to others. He turned to God. He turned to his Savior to have the joy of his salvation restored, because David knew, and you and I know, that God is the heart changer. He is the life transformer. And He has given you and I the ability to tap into that transforming power at any time through His Word. He's given us that incredible gift of His Word to tap into that transforming power which points our hearts and our minds away from ourselves and to Jesus. Very simply, Jesus is the key to that transformation. It's not found in some law-based, step-by-step, how-to program, but rather in the gospel of Jesus, the good news of His life, death, and resurrection for you and me. That's why we have verses like the one found in Hebrews chapter 12, where the writer of Hebrews points us to Jesus. He says, "Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Look to Jesus. Look to the one who is the author, the creator of your faith. He's also the one who will perfect it or finish it on the last day when we shall be like Him perfectly. Look to the one who endured the cross for you, so that you might enjoy the glories of heaven with Him. Look to Jesus, the one who now sits on God's throne and holds you safely in His powerful, loving hands and carries you through this life. Look to Jesus and see His great love for you. There in His love you will find heart-transforming and life-transforming power. Jesus' love then inspires us to put that transforming power of God into practice in our lives. Paul writes about some of those ways in the last verses of our text. First of all, look at verse 3. He reminds us that being a transformed living sacrifice means living humbly. Verse 3, he says, "So by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think in a way that results in sound judgment, as God distributed a measure of faith to each of you." It also means to humbly use the gifts that God has given to you for His service and also for the service of others. Paul reminds us in verses 5 through 8 of our text, "In the same way, though we are many, we are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. We have different gifts according to the grace God has given us. If the gift is prophecy, do it in complete agreement with the faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then encourage. If it is contributing, be generous. If it is leadership, be diligent. If it is showing mercy, do it cheerfully." What gifts has God given to you? Oftentimes when we think of spiritual gifts or gifts in the Bible, we think of the miraculous ones, right? But when you look at this list, almost all the ones listed here are not ones we would consider to be miraculous, not in a going beyond the realm of nature type of sense, right? But these gifts that are listed are incredibly important, in fact essential, when it comes to building up the body of Christ, Jesus' church. The gifts Paul lists: serving, teaching, encouraging, contributing, leadership, and showing mercy. We wouldn't consider those to be miraculous gifts, right? They are gifts from the Holy Spirit, but that's not miraculous. Even the gift of prophecy listed in its base meaning refers to speaking God's word. And so Paul says, if you have that gift of prophecy, if you are speaking God's word, he says, do it in complete agreement with the faith. In other words, in the agreement with the rest of what God's word, the Bible, says, because that is what we base our faith upon. These are the gifts that God has given us, and He's worked in many of you who are here today. God wants us to use them, not just for your own good or for your own sake, but for the good of others, for the good of the body of Christ. As Paul reminds us, we are all members of one body. So they're to be used for the good of others, but also for God's glory and as an act of worship to Him. as living sacrifices, transformed and renewed by our Savior himself. May we all daily, humbly, offer our lives in thankfulness to Jesus, as we will sing in the next hymn. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my will and make it Thine, it shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is Thine own, it shall be Thy royal throne. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. We continue our service this morning with our next hymn, hymn 783, Take My Life and Let It Be. Please rise. We bring prayers to our Father's throne today. First of all, in remembrance of September 11th, which is tomorrow, we pray for our country. We also pray for the earthquake victims in Morocco, the earthquake that happened recently there that took the lives of so many. Any other prayer requests for today? Yes, Terry. We'll do that. Let's join our hearts in prayer. Lord of all nations, God of all peoples, we praise you for answering the prayers of your people as we sought your mercy and protection following the events of September 11th, 2001. Your providence and care have given to us daily bread and protection from enemies. Let us always trust your mercy, even as enemies continue to threaten our peace. Bring comfort through your word to those whose hearts are heavy on this anniversary, that they may find their hope in your Son's victory over evil and the grave. Turn all the hearts of the people of our nation to Jesus, who alone is our life and our salvation, our protector, our provider, and our God. O Lord, our Redeemer and Creator, we come before you in behalf of all those who have suffered so much loss in connection with the devastating earthquake that hit Morocco recently. With the gospel of your unfailing love, comfort those who have lost loved ones in this disaster, those who have been injured or otherwise sitting in the rubble of homes and businesses destroyed. Help them to say with Job, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." At the same time, dear Lord, may they and all of us find hope, peace, and patience, knowing that though all earthly things, even this earthly life itself, be destroyed, yet through faith in you, the crucified and risen one, we have blessings beyond compare. We have forgiveness of all our sins. We have eternal life and salvation. Use this tragedy to turn the hearts of people who are affected toward you in repentance and faith. Use it to draw them and all of us into a deeper dependence and trust in you, looking in faith to you alone as God and Savior. Give them the assurance of your presence and protect them in the coming days that no further harm, loss, or damage would come upon them. Dwell with them and us, dear Savior. Dwell with them and us always and never leave. Dwell with us through your word and help us through that word to reflect your love toward them and others by our words and our actions. As we grow in faith, dear Savior, remove also from us all thoughts, all speech, all desires, and all deeds that do not glorify you. Give us the power to refuse temptation and to turn away from sin. Teach us acts of love and mercy so that we do not pass by our neighbor unheedingly, but rather that we give him whatever help we can. Cause every Christian virtue to be found in us that we may present these good works to Jesus as thank offerings for his gift of eternal life. Increase in us a feeling of responsibility for the souls of others, making us willing to share the gospel with them. Dear Lord, we also take to your throne our prayers for our brother Wayne. You know the pain that he's been going through. We ask you to give him mercy, and if it be your will, relieve him from his pain and give him the relief that he needs. Help him through this difficult time to continue to put his trust in you and be with his wife Terry as she ministers to him as well. Give them the wisdom and the strength to get through this difficult time together, trusting in you and turning to you for all their help. Help us, dear Lord, to always turn to you in prayer, that we cast all our burdens upon you. Meanwhile, comfort us with the precious knowledge that, Jesus, you hear us and care for us. When we pray, give us the grace to believe that we shall receive those things for which we ask. Divine Counselor, Holy Spirit, abide in us. Be our strength, our hope, and our light to encourage and guide us through our remaining years until we are safely with our Savior. Be merciful to all who are weary and worn with physical problems and emotional pressures. Relieve them according to your good pleasure. Bind up those who are wounded, heal the sick, bring solace to the sorrowing, and restore those who are erring. Forgive us all our many sins. We ask this for your sake, dear Jesus, and in your name now we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. I invite you to remain standing for our closing hymn today, hymn 965 in your maroon hymnal, God Bless Our Native Land. You may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus, and on behalf of our congregation, I'd like to welcome our guests and visitors who are with us again today. We invite you to come and worship our Savior with us again in the near future. Announcements for today and for this week. I'll be heading to our worship service in Hayward for our 1 o'clock worship service there, and the congregation has their council meeting after the service today at 2 p.m. This week I have my confirmation class with Natalie Lang at 4 p.m. on Wednesday. Thursday our Board of Ed meets at 6 p.m. via Zoom. A reminder for that meeting for the Board of Ed on Thursday. Next Sunday we have our worship service at 10 a.m. as the usual time, and our Bible class at the usual time of 9 a.m. Communicant members of our congregation that would like to take the Lord's Supper are invited to do so after the service today. Please meet with me in the front of the church after the service is over. Also, a reminder that the Pacific Coast Women's Retreat, which will take place in Washington, is coming up soon, October 6th through 8th. There are details in the bulletin if you'd like more information. Any other announcements for today? Yes?
Crafting Bee
today, after the service in the fellowship hall.
Yep.
Please stay for that if you are able. Thank you. Any other announcements today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And